This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Imagine the Apostle Paul as an old man, gazing out the window of a Roman prison, half blind, squinting just to read, waiting for his trial before the Roman emperor, a future as gloomy as his jail cell. Yet, to read his words, you'd think he just arrived at a resort beach hotel. His letter to the Philippians is not one of fear or complaint. He lifts his thanks to God and calls on his followers to do the same. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Paul's faith is deeply rooted in his belief that God exists, that he is in control, and that he is good. Rejoice in the Lord always. You cannot control the world, and trust it to God. Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live with Pastor Jim Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, August 1st, 2021.
Good morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Welcome on this first Sunday of August and the first day of August to boot. Today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. We thank you for the blessings of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Christ, our Messiah. We thank you for another opportunity to come to worship and praise you. On this day, we'll break bread together. We'll come in your name to your altar and receive your gifts of love, grace, and mercy. Father, may you be with us now and us with you as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's center our hearts before God and take a moment of silence as we begin this time of prayer. Let us pray. Before you we come, our God, in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus, your Son. We come, Father, admitting that we struggle. Admitting that there are times when we're not sure. Admitting that there are times when we don't feel close. Admitting that there are times when we put ourselves ahead of others. Admitting that there are times when, Father, we just come up short. And Father, we seek that you would forgive us for our sins. But Father, we also come to give you praise, to honor and glorify your name. For you have blessed us here this morning with a sanctuary and place to come, where we can gather together without fear, without persecution, to worship and praise you, our living God, in the name of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you for the miracles that we have seen in our lives. But Father, we pray that you would help us see them as you at work. For Father, rising in the morning is no small thing, for many can't do that. As we go about our day, seemingly not even noticing the little things of one foot in front of another, hands that respond to our thoughts, eyes alert to what is going on. Father, there are many people that do not have those same things on their side every day. So, Father, let us not take your blessings in our lives for granted. And, Father, let us attribute these blessings to you not upon our own strength, our own wisdom, our own decisions, our own abilities, gifts, and talents, but Father, let us know that all things come from you, all good things. James says, comes down from the Father of light, which is our Heavenly Father. And it's because Christ is raised and Christ is seated and Christ intercedes that we who believe are brought back into a proper relationship with you. We are forgiven by your mighty acts in Christ Jesus. For if we were waiting on our own works to do it, Father, we would yet be in our sins. Father, we bring our hearts of many problems, burdens, and cares before you. Some are written in our bulletin and we're asked to remember them. Some silently upon our heart. Some we are lifted aloud. Father, we pray today for each and every one that your will be done and that grace may abound, that we would be able to accept whatever your will is and to know that we only see partially. We don't see the larger picture. We don't know all the dynamics. And Father, help us when we can't understand to trust in you. When we don't have an answer, to turn to you. For there are many times in our lives when those are the situations we face, and those we should trust in faith. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our communities. We pray for one another. We pray for nations around the world. We pray for all those who suffer and are oppressed. Father, we pray that Christ would be proclaimed, that hearts would change, that lives would be redeemed, and that there would be peace and love and grace, selflessness. Father, we pray today that we would hear and that we would share your love into the world. For those in nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes, in the hospitals, who travel, who are separated from family for various reasons, Father, we lift them before you today and ask your grace and mercy upon all this that we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Today our reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I've been enjoying revisiting the Gospel of John and these events. They're not parables, they're not stories, they're accounts of how John and the disciples saw Jesus and the feeding of the thousands. And here we find Jesus again dealing with this same group of people that we've had a little bit of run-in with already. We find that this is the same group where he had been and healed people among them and done many miracles around them. And he decided to get away, so him and the disciples went on the boat, remember. Jesus went away to pray. Jesus catches up with them, and immediately they're on the other side. And the crowd catches up to them. They feed the 5,000, and that was just the men. It's likely the crowd was about 15 or 20,000. And they fed them from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They picked up 12 baskets, bushel baskets of leftovers. We remember that. I just want to get us on the same page. Well, Jesus has left that crowd again, and he's gone back to Capernaum. Capernaum is Jesus' center of the wheel, if you will. It is his center of operations. It's his home base. It's where he extends his disciples out of. It is the central place of his ministry and allows him to be available in that whole area and to travel and at least have a place that's sort of home base, if you will. So we find Jesus, and that crowd has come back, this time most of them on boats, and they catch up with Jesus, and they go, well, where did you go? Now, this passage has two things that you need to see, and they should come to your attention anytime you hear the Bible say, very truly I tell you, or verily, verily I say unto you, or something like that as an introductory phrase. Perk up, get your pen out, and take a note. Because that means he's about to say something that is profound, that is significant, that is faith and life changing. Twice he does that in this text. So they come to Jesus and say, where did you go? We were looking for you and all this stuff. And we wanted to catch up with you. And Jesus said, okay, you're here. So there in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs. Now remember that. I might want to underline that. But because you ate all that you could eat up at the fish fry. All you could have at the picnic. And now you come down here, you want another sandwich. You want another cookout. You want something else. You come because you had that big thing. Because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes. Think about that. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Underline that. You need this one. Redemption, salvation, eternal life. The Messiah, our Christ, our Jesus, the Holy Spirit are all gifts from God. They're all gifts that we may know redemption, salvation, that we may be sanctified, justified, and brought before God, holy and blameless. They are not what we do. Beware works righteousness. That's what they wanted to know. What can we do? Where's the checklist? Where is the, we get in when we get this done list? Where is the, if I do this, then I get that? Where can we get that? We need to understand that it is a gift from God. It is work that only God can do. How many of us in this sanctuary this morning would think for 1 second we're good enough to get in? I didn't think so. How many of us think we can do enough to good to get in? I don't think so. We're not under that delusion, but do you believe that the world might be? Do you believe that there are actually other religions who give you a list? Did you know that? I hope you didn't. I hope you've been a part of one all of your life that doesn't give you a list, but calls you to live to a higher level, and that is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that moves you to live out your faith. You see, it's harder to live by grace than it is by law. I don't know. How many of you are list people? You like a to-do list? I'm a to-do list person, and when I've got my list either in my head or written down, I can zip through that puppy. Man, I can prepare stuff. I can prepare the time. I can get the. I can get that stuff. That's what I do. If I've got a goal in my mind and I've got a checklist, man, I'm going to go for it. You know, when I don't have one and it's just kind of out there, I don't have as much motivation. I guess I'm just the only one that way. But grace is like that, isn't it? There isn't a list to check off. There isn't a to-do list. Nobody says anything that you have to have prayer at 4:14 in the morning and it has to last until 4:30. There isn't a list that says you have to do A, B, C, D, that you have to participate in A, B, C, D, and that you have to do those. There isn't one, is there? It's harder to be a self-starter than it is to be a follower. But that's what we're called to be as Christians, isn't it? Sort of self-followers. Followers of Christ, but self-starters in our journey. I'll be back to that in a minute. So Jesus says to them, don't work for those things that perish. This is the work that you believe in Him who has sent you. Faith. Believe in faith. So they said to Him, what sign will you give us so that we can believe you? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? You got them down being healed. You got them down there. Jesus is causing the blind to see among them. He's causing the lame to walk. He's cleansing the lepers. All of that stuff's going on with the first encounter. He leaves. He gets tired. He says, we've got to get away from here. He gets on the ship. He goes up. This same crowd runs him down up there. He feeds them loaves and fishes. They're all part of that. They're all part of seeing what he's doing. And he teaches them while he's up there. As he feeds them, he's teaching them. So they've had signs down here with miracles. They've had more signs and teachings up here. Now they get in their boats. They follow him back down to Capernaum. And now they want to know, what signs are you going to give us? You know, what more do you need? Any more? But there's something that we might do that's sort of the same. How many of us notice there's miracles around us every single day? I use this as an example in Sunday school this morning. How many of you can identify the miracles in your life? How many of you are willing to witness to those miracles? How many of you, I included, are willing to give God praise for those miracles? How many of us have taken enough time this week to even notice what God has done in our lives? Or have we just wanted some manna from heaven, rake it up, scrape it up, take it and go? Another fish sandwich. In a few minutes, we give you an opportunity every single Sunday to give a praise. Often you're very silent. Often I will actually say, God's not done anything among us this week. Well, Pastor, I just don't want to speak out. It ain't about you. Newsflash, it's not about you. Somebody else may need to know you went through something and that God worked something out in your life. It may not be about you. If God is moving upon your heart that you should share something, pop up like a jack-in-the-box and get it said. Don't sit there and let the devil win a battle right here in the sanctuary. You don't know what your neighbor is struggling with, do you? They might need to know that God's at work somewhere around them in their faith community. But Debbie asked a great question in Sunday school. How do we get the word out? You know, we all kind of hear because we're kind of in the same boat, right? How do we get the word out? How many of you went to the rodeo last night? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of it. It ain't a bad thing. Although there was a few of us. I went. Now, you need to understand that I struggled with going to this rodeo. Ask Trinity. I made trip after trip after trip in and out of the house deciding whether I was going to go or not. On the one hand, I wanted to go. I really did. The other hand, the devil was saying, you don't need to go. Putting all kinds of roadblocks out there. I want to give Carrie some credit here. She was encouraging me to go. So here, I finally decided to go. It looked like the clouds were going to open up any minute. It was thundering everywhere. There was every sign that we were fixing to get drowned. How many of you have been to the complex up there next to where they hold the rodeo? Do you realize that that roof is almost useless? Especially if it's going to rain, because Wyoming rain don't come down. It comes around. It comes from everywhere. And it's not much use in the afternoon when the sun's coming in there. You ever been there for that? Do you know what's the funniest thing ever? People put their hats on, and they put their bill to the back, and then they're doing this. You know, how dumb can you get? You know, you want to go get them a sign. How many of you have seen that happen? It is hilarious. And the brim of their hats down on the back. They're drinking their beer, you know, and going like this. But what was wonderful last night was the announcer. We getting ready, the flags out there and everything. The announcer says, we're going to pray. And he talks about the division that's in this country. And he talked about how we did not let the enemy, which is Satan, by the way, divide us. And that man had a wonderful prayer from the heart in the name of Jesus. And you know what? All those people at that rodeo, about probably between 5,000 and 10,000 people, it was full. The side stand was pretty full. Both the VIP things were full with participants, the crowd. It was the largest crowd they've ever had. When he said, and all the people said, amen, guess what? It sounded like all the people said, amen. How are we going to get the message out? Why don't we just tell them about Jesus and what he's done for us? Folks, if we can't give Jesus credit and praise, we need to reevaluate our faith. He is the bread of life. We can get caught up in trying to earn bread that perishes. We can get caught up in the things of this world. That's what he's talking about. And forget everlasting life. We can forget God's blessings in our lives. We can take it all for granted. We can even pat ourselves on the back that we made it, that we got it, and we have it. But we need to understand, James teaches that every good gift is a gift from God who is in heaven. We need to accept Christ as our Savior and Redeemer and live out of that, for He is the bread of life. He is that which sustains us and gives us. How do we get the word out? How do we tell people about the love of Christ? We need to tell Him what He's done for us. We need to tell Him one person at a time, one group at a time. We need to know what He's done for us, and we need to give Him praise. Folks don't want to hear about what you got done. Have you noticed that lately? Period. They don't want to hear. They want to know you care about them. Let the Holy Spirit go to work. Let the Holy Spirit convict people. Let the Holy Spirit move within them. And Jesus says to them, don't work for the food that perishes, but work for the eternal fruit. What is it that lasts forever? I'll wait. What is the one thing that doesn't diminish? Love. Thank you. God's love for sure, but your love. Your love for each other. Your love for others. Death doesn't defeat it, does it? It doesn't change it. It doesn't go away. How many of you have lost somebody you really loved? Has it diminished? The person that told you you'll get over it lied. It becomes part of your life, a part of your journey. It becomes part of your story. It becomes part of your praise to have gotten to know that person. It becomes that which God has done. Do you think you're here by choice this morning or by accident? Or do you think God had something to do with it? God had something to do with it, didn't He? Did you listen to a voice that got you here this morning? How many of you wanted to snuggle in? Because it was cool last night. Yeah, I got news for you. How many's beds are more comfy on Sunday than any other day? Mine is too. I heard this story one time, said this man was in the bed and his mom come in there and said, "It's time for you to get up and go to church, son." She said, "I don't want to go, Mama. I don't like that church." She said, "You got to go, son. You need to get up and go to church." He said, "I don't like those people down there." And he said, "Son, you got to get up and go to church." He said, "Mama, they don't like me down there at that church." She said, "Son, you got to go to church." He said, "Mama, my bed's so soft and comfy. Can't I just miss this Sunday?" She said, "Son, get out of that bed and go to church." "But, Mama, I don't want to. Why do I have to go?" She said, "Son, you're the pastor." "My bed's soft and comfy too, you know?" It is. It's so ironic that, you know, I'll be honest, I had leg cramps and stuff last night, and I couldn't sleep. But finally, about 4, and the clock goes off at 5. You know, the clock goes off, and I'm going, "Where are you at?" You know, it's on my phone. Hey, how many of you found you can't find it? Why don't they make that button stop bigger when it comes on instead of the little bitty piece? It's just amazing to me. Bread of life, the hope, is in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is the forever. He is the present. And He says in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." He's certainly not talking about bread made from wheat and water drawn from a tap or a spring. So He must be talking about something else. In order for us to be nourished as Christians and to nourish each other, we have to be in the Word of God and in a relationship with Jesus by faith, not by works. For He is the bread of life. I pray He is the bread of life in our hearts and lives. I pray that we're not trusting in our own gifts, talents, and abilities, but trusting in Him. I pray that we have a testimony, that we have a praise about what God is doing in us, not about what we are doing for God. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, this morning I would pray that our relationship with You is such that we know Your love, Your grace, and mercy every single day. And out of Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy, Your blessings, that we're able to share into the world around us and to touch lives. That they would see Christ in us, not our faults and failures alone, not our shortcomings, and not point our finger at those church people, and we point our fingers at those non-church people. For God loves sinners. God loves everyone. We're told in the Gospel of John that God so loved the world that He sent His Son. He didn't say that He just loved a few. Salvation and redemption is for all, should they choose to accept it. And then to receive it and to let God move within our lives in a personal relationship one-on-one with Him. Father, help us to see You at work in our community, in our family, in our own homes. Help us to see You in everyone the way You would see everyone, that we would be able to extend the grace that has been extended to us, that we would have a testimony and a praise of what You have done and how You've touched our lives, that others may be encouraged and that hope would spread. For Father, we live in a world today that needs the good news. And Father, we are the carriers of the bread of life. May we take it into the world and let them know its goodness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May you go in God's grace with His peace and in His mercy. May you share His love with the world around you. May you see God at work and join His activity. May you truly hear His call upon your life. And may that call stir within you confidence, faith, and a willingness to serve. Now go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.